THRUGHINNOCENTYES, AGLIMPSEINTORESILINCE. At home, I'm fortunate if they receive a bit of rice left, but more often than not, they're waiting for me to cook for them, and if there isn't any, they beat me. Too lazy to even get the wood and light the small fire. The only thing that keeps me going is the thought of the stranger, my future. I take odd jobs to save money, hoping to visit Auntie and catch a glimpse of the man I want in my life, even though he's never seen me. In our modest dwelling, comprised of merely two rooms and a floor of black earth, we navigate through the rhythms of daily life amidst the essential elements required for survival. Candlelight dances across the worn surfaces, illuminating our humble existence. Within these confines, simplicity reigns supreme. Our meals are prepared over the crackling flames of an open fire, utilizing whatever provisions are within our means. Bathing becomes an outdoor affair, where the creek at the back serves as our communal bathing spot, shared by others before the water trickles downstream to us. In our house, our kitchen isn't much of a kitchen at all. It's more like a dark cave, even when the sun is shining outside. The air always smells like smoke, because we use coconut husks and wood to cook our food. Sometimes it's so thick you can almost taste it on your tongue. There's not much in our kitchen. Just a couple of pots, one for cooking rice and another for making soup. But it's not like the soups you see in fancy restaurants. Ours is made from whatever vegetables we can find, usually just scraps and leftovers. If we're really lucky, we might have a little bit of dried fish to add some flavor, but that's not something we get very often. It's not a cozy place like you see in storybooks. There are no shiny appliances or colorful decorations. Just bare walls and worn-out pots. But it's where we did gather as a family long ago when Father was with us, where we share our meals and our stories. And even though it's not much, it's still a home. Despite the harshness of our living conditions, our bellies hurt from hunger. We sleep on bits of sawn coconut tree. My hopes remain tethered to the possibility of glimpsing my elusive future stranger. Time and again, I make the journey to Auntie's place. It's a long way. I have to go into the city by multi-cab then get a jeep another 20 kilometers. Remember, I'm only 9 now, yearning to catch sight of him, but he remains elusive, like a phantom haunting the edges of my existence. These years of waiting are etched with the bitter flavor of letdown, each passing day tinged with the sting of unfulfilled hopes. And amidst it all, I bear the weight of blame for reasons unknown, heaped upon me by my own family simply for existing.